tonight, Turtle, with you until 10 o'clock each and every weeknight here on 92.9 The Game. Been a heavy Falcons day on the program, as it should be. Talked a little Georgia Bulldogs as well. I guess the Braves are playing a baseball game, but that's about our baseball coverage for right now on 92.9 The Game. There's nothing to talk about. I guess recently the conversation about if Snit's coming back has reared its ugly head again, but Alex Anthopoulos on our air and to the media basically said, there's nothing to talk about right now.
Snit smoked today too.
Yeah, we're going to give him the grace to decide, essentially. Bless you, O. That was a violent sneeze, I'll call that. This is at least what it looked like from behind the glass. It just seems like they're going to take their time on this, and they're just going to sort of let Snit be the emphasis, the epitome of the decision. And I don't know. Oren, after this year, I don't see how he comes back. It's been such an uninspiring, injury-rattled. It just feels like you need something new. It just feels like you need a new voice, and you got to get younger, and you got to get with the times a little bit more. Snit's one of the last true gut managers in the game. I'm not saying he doesn't use analytics, but I know they give him the leeway to, you know, use his 50-plus years of MLB experience to make decisions. And up until this year, he was pretty damn good at it. And a lot of it, not his fault this year, but he has made some uncharacteristic mistakes this year too. And we need to be honest about that. The Braves are entering an interesting period here with a lot of guys under contract, but a lot of moving parts in the rotation and the bullpen and the outfield. I think next year is going to be a huge year for everyone involved in this organization. I don't think I know, and we'll see what happens. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you for another hour here. Did want you to hear from Zach Robinson. He did speak today, the Falcons OC. This term is getting brought up again. And this is just annoying at this point. I think because of what happened last year with Kirk Cousins, when they weren't really able to use any of whatever drops of athleticism he has left in his body, which is not a lot, not that he ever really was, but the pistol formation is essentially a term that got in the crosshairs of Falcons Nation last year, and it really became irritating to hear about it over and over and over again. And now it's reared its ugly head again with Zach Robinson mentioning it about using it with Michael Penix Jr. Zach talked about why they were so heavily reliant on it and basically making it a focal point of the offense once again. And I don't understand why this is a thing again. I guess if he feels like that's the best way to execute the offense, that's why he's the OC, but this is what he had to say about it.
Yeah, I think, again, week to week, depending on who we're playing, the schemes that we're, building, a lot of stuff, everything is built through the run game. But I think the pistol does keep you pretty balanced from a run-pass standpoint. Obviously, in the offset gun, there's tendencies to throw the football. And so being able to stay completely balanced with what we're doing is what we're trying to do. From a run, play action, keeper, screen, all those things that come with it. And again, it's part of our offense. We'll pick our spots when we need to go under. But our guys feel comfortable with it. Our quarterback feels very comfortable in it, knowing that that's the way he operated mostly in Washington. So, but again, week to week on what that is, depending on what we're seeing on the other side of the football and some of the stuff we're trying to activate from a run game and moving forward.
I mean, all right. As long as you win, I don't care, but I just don't want this to be a thing again. Because last year this was a thing for several weeks in a row. And with Kirk Cousins, listen, I know Michael Penix Jr. is not Kirk Cousins, so hopefully this just doesn't become a thing and we're being asked about this week after week after week and him having to justify and explain why such a particular part of the offense is run that way. Again, if you get results, then it doesn't matter, but when you have 69 total yards on the ground and your essentially rookie quarterback has to throw it 42 times in week one, that's not exactly a game plan for success. So that's why it was brought up again this week. He was also talking about Brian Flores and managing against him this week.
Yeah, they're a great challenge, very similar to last week, you know, with Todd Bowles. I would say on our schedule, those two are, from a schematic standpoint, make you think through everything. And so got a ton of respect for those guys. Obviously, we saw them last year. There's a lot of similar players. There's similar things that they do from a front and coverage standpoint. But they make you work through a lot of things and make sure that you're on the screws with the details and making sure you don't have dead plays and things like that. But I'm sure there'll be something that's new that we haven't seen, and that's where you just got to adjust in real time and take it from there. But definitely, you know, they got great players. They're very well coached. Have a ton of respect for B. Flow and just what he's done over the course of career. But like I said, they definitely make you prepare for everything.
Well, considering things went so swimmingly in week one, I'm sure we have all the confidence in the world that those screws are going to be tight, Mr. Robinson. I just got to see it. I want to believe in the highs from last year, that those are not outliers, that those can be the norm and the example, but I was not impressed last week. He was asked about both J.J. McCarthy and Michael Penix, two young bucks showing a lot of promise in the NFL.
Both those guys have had a ton of success throughout their careers. You know, a ton of respect for J.J. McCarthy. We obviously looked at him coming out too. And, you know, both those guys have had a ton of success. The college level, it's really cool to see them at the pro level doing the same thing.
Yeah, J.J. McCarthy, again, if you didn't stay up to watch the end of that game, it was like a Porsche that was stuck in neutral. And then all of a sudden in the fourth quarter, you hit fifth gear. Like, he went from looking awful to looking incredible in the span of a half of football. So J.J. McCarthy found his groove, found Justin Jefferson. The running game got going a little bit, and their offense is going to present a challenge for the Falcons, where I think going into the year, a lot of us were like, I don't really know about the Vikings and J.J. McCarthy. Well, now you do, because you just saw him do it against the divisional opponent and a team in the Bears that are desperate to prove that they made the right decision with their quarterback and Caleb Williams. And at the end of the game, J.J. McCarthy outplayed Caleb Williams 10 times over. 404-726-0929, Chris Thomas tonight, hearing from our OC, Zach Robinson, that spoke today. He also talked about the offensive line and the progress that they're making.
Yeah, it just it takes time. That unit, like you're alluding to, it is continuity and reps and, you know, feeling blocks and understanding the angles that you're driving people on. So it absolutely is something that we know, shoot, week one to week five, we expect to see a big jump in that. To week 10, we expect it to be, you know, firing on all cylinders. So we understand it's a long season. It's not a one-game season. Those guys will just continue to grow together from a communication standpoint, and then just from a fundamentals and technique standpoint. Expect those guys to just keep getting better together.
I hope so. They better, as I've been saying. That was not good versus Tampa. It just, I mean, there's really nothing else to say other than it was bad. I mean, nobody, Chris Lindstrom got eaten up by Vita Vea. Jake got beat a couple of times. We know about Elijah Wilkinson and the penalties. Nothing went the way of the offensive line that we were hoping we would see some more continuity after Caleb McGarry went down, but we unfortunately saw quite the opposite, and it's going to be a huge challenge versus a very stout Minnesota defense who's in their building on Sunday night, and that was the final thing we'll hear from Zach Robinson on. He's expecting a raucous environment on Sunday in Minnesota.
Yeah, the biggest thing is the operation, you know, making sure I get the calls in and out of the huddle, you know, making sure we pick our spots, you know, obviously you're on the silent cadence. And so we got to be on the screws from a communication standpoint up front, from Mike's communication in the huddle, getting to the line of scrimmage, all those operation and procedure things in an environment like this. You know, we played there last year, but I'm assuming, you know, Sunday Night Football, their first home game, is going to be rocking even more than last year. So biggest thing is, yeah, just the overall operation. I have my part in it, making sure that play calls are in clean for Mike. He can get in and out, and those guys can communicate and go play.
Well, here's the thing with that, Oren. Last week, they did it again. They had an operational error coming out of a TV timeout, and they had to call a timeout because they couldn't get the damn play in. Come on, Zach. See, this is the stuff I'm talking about. Like, I'm not impressed right now. I need to see more I need to see consistency. I need to see functionality. And I need to see not just those things, but I also need to see you excel and make the most out of the weapons on this offense. Even if Drake and Darnell aren't 100%, you still have plenty. Ray's look great. Pitts look good. Bijan and Tyler, we know what they can do. You got a couple of young guys that might get in the mix at receiver. You have enough. That's the point, right? Like, we have enough on this offense that it shouldn't look the way that it did on Sunday, even against a good defense. And again, guys, the Bucs have a good defense. I think at the end of the year, they're going to be, I don't know, top 10, top 12. Maybe that's a stretch. Like, they're not a top three defense in the NFL. And your offense just looked stagnant and ineffective, quite frankly. So I think a lot is on the line for Zach Robinson on primetime this weekend. All right, when we get back, we're going to hear from one of the best in the biz in the NFL, Sam Munson. He is with the Check the Mic podcast, going to go all over the league, including here in Atlanta. What did he think about the performance of Michael Penix Jr., as well as our situation here in the A? Sam Munson, one of the best in the biz, coming up next. You don't want to miss this conversation on Chris Thomas Tonight. Turtle on 92.9 The Game.